Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This episode of Crime Salad contains offensive language captured on police body cam footage, which includes police violence and gunshots associated with murder, and it may be unsettling. But we share it with the fight for justice for Sonia Massey. Please listen to this episode with caution. For this week's story, we uncover a heartbreaking tragedy that has recently shaken Springfield, Illinois to its core. On July 6, 2024, 36-year-old Sonia Massey, a loving mother of two, faced a horrifying encounter in her own home. Her final words, "I'm sorry," were spoken as she shielded her face in fear moments before she was fatally shot by a now former officer. So stick with us as we unravel the details of this devastating event, explore the aftermath, and help the family seek justice for Sonia Massey. This is a story that demands to be heard. My name's Ashley.
And I'm Ricky.
And this is Crime Salad. Now, days before this all happened, Sonia Massey was experiencing what her mom described as a mental breakdown. A handful of calls were made to the police as she felt unsafe in her own home. She was living alone and needed some peace of mind to make sure that she was safe. So she called 911 with hopes that the local police were there to protect her. Now, in a world that often feels overwhelmingly stressful, filled with hate, and an endless demand, the tragic case of Sonia Massey stands out very boldly, not only in Springfield, Illinois, but in different cities throughout the U.S. Her story is a wake-up call, a plea for change that resonates far beyond her tragic end. It's a reminder that we all have a role to play in building a more compassionate society. Sonia was in a situation where she called the police to ask for a helping hand, and instead, she was shot and left to die on the floor. A horrific display of cruelty that leaves us questioning the very fabric of our society. You may have already seen the tragic and disturbing police body cam footage released about the shooting of Sonia Massey that has been floating around social media, but if you haven't, I have to warn you beforehand. It's graphic and it's heartbreaking. This footage shows the tragic event that took the life of Sonia Massey, who was unarmed and shot 3 times by an officer in Illinois after she called 911 for help on July 6, 2024. And the officer that shot her claims that this was self-defense and he was threatened with hot water. My jaw dropped as I watched the full video uploaded by the Illinois State Police on YouTube. It paints how heinous and disrespectful the lead officer handled the situation. We'll be sure to link it in our description. Now, before you jump to conclusions, this story isn't to bring politics to the table. We leave that out. It's about the profound disrespect shown by someone who wears a badge as an honor to protect the people in his community, but ends up shooting and killing someone who was in need of help. Until more details unravel in this case, and as we wait for the trial to happen, consider this episode involving the fight for justice for Sonia Massey unfinished. Now, as someone who struggles with mental health issues myself, it brought me to tears to witness how Sonia was treated in her final moments. I've experienced extreme anxiety and at times desperately needed reassurance that things were okay, I'm okay. While I can't speak for everyone, and I certainly can't speak for Sonia, I felt a profound uneasiness watching the events unfold that night. During a mental health crisis, feelings of loneliness, fear, confusion, and being off track can be overwhelming. The way Sonia was treated is a disgrace. Importantly, she did not show any signs of being a threat to anyone when the police were called. She was simply struggling with her own mental health, and she was seeking help. So here's the story. On the night of July 6th, around midnight, two officers arrived at her doorstep, and she was grateful for their presence. But Officer Sean Grayson handled the situation so disrespectfully. Most of the publicly released body cam footage was from an assisting officer who was also on the scene. Officer Sean Grayson spoke to her with belittling arrogance precisely when she needed reassurance. This incident occurred just a few days after the 4th of July, and you can hear fireworks in the background, which could have heightened her anxiety. Moreover, it appears that she was living alone, which could have added to her distress. The second officer was not nearly as condescending, further highlighting how out of line and unprofessional Sean Grayson was. They did search the area, and they found no trespassers or anyone lurking nearby, giving her the feeling of security that she was fine. They could have simply left it at that, but it seemed that the officer who did the most of the interaction with Sonia only caused more confusion and tension. So let me explain. The officer, Sean Grayson, asked her a few questions like why she took so long to answer the door and whose car was in the driveway, which seemed like okay questions to ask, but he asked these questions in a very patronizing way. She held her composure, she was very respectful to the officers, and actually super sweet, even saying that she loved them, expressing her appreciation, that they even came to check on her, and she thanked them. And she said that she needed help. And he sarcastically replied, "Help with what?" You can see that she felt something strange about these officers that showed up at her doorstep that night. She appears nervous and almost in a confused state, sometimes even fidgety. It was almost as if the officer was provoking her.
Yeah, it was kind of like he was trying to get some type of emotional response out of her.
Yeah, I mean, just listen to the first part of the footage.
Sheriff's office! The one you called.
Well, how do you down here? And I need to down here. Please, God.
How did it hurt you? You called us.
Okay.
So what'd you hear?
Somebody keeps outside my house, y'all. Please.
Is this your car over here?
Please.
Is this your car over here?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Please,
that's not your black car in the driveway?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Well, we checked your yard. We walked around the whole block. We didn't see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, we check the whole area. There's nobody out walking around.
I know, y'all. Please, God. I'm trying to get help, y'all, but...
What do you need help with?
Nothing. I just... Please, God. I don't know what to do.
Do with what?
Huh?
What do you need help with?
Nothing. I just wanted to see if I could help me.
What do you want help with?
Huh?
What do you want help with?
I heard somebody outside.
Yeah, we checked your house. We checked your backyard. I walked all the way through all these backyards. We checked your front yard.
We didn't see nobody.
Yeah, so. Nobody's out here.
You didn't see anybody?
Nope. No. Checked the whole area.
Okay.
What took you so long to answer the door?
Oh, I was trying to put on some clothes, sir. I'm sorry. I was trying to get
I got gotcha. You. All right. Sorry. Is there anything else we can do for you?
Huh?
Is there anything else I can do for you?
No, sir.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Sir.
All right.
You doing all right mentally?
Yes.
Sure?
My medicine and stuff.
All right. Okay.
I love y'all. Thank y'all.
All right. That's not your black car, though. The SUV? Whose is it? You don't know? Someone just parked it in your driveway?
Mm-hmm. They brought it to my driveway.
And just left it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's run that.
Yeah. 19, I got a 20 for you.
Does anyone else live here with you?
David Mary 43556.
You got a name? You got an idea or something? Take your name real quick. Catch this. See who we spoke to.
After listening to that, it's hard for me to imagine how that could have escalated into a murder.
Right? Like, they were about to leave.
Yeah. And she was super nice. I mean, they were kind of pushing her.
Exactly. Now, the police, they ask for her name, and she walks into her house to give them her information, which the two officers follow. She was sitting on her couch, sifting through her bag to find her ID and the paperwork that she thought could be helpful in explaining what her situation was for the police to understand. And she just couldn't get her name out. So he said, "How do you not even know your last name?" Again, with such arrogance. And he even smirked and let out a little chuckle when he asked her in a tone similar to that of a bully. This was clearly making Sonia feel bothered. And I get the sense that she felt a bit attacked in some way.
And the fact that he even asked her about her mental health, and she said, "I'm fine, I'm on medicine," it shows that they were aware of these issues.
Exactly. Yeah, he was very well aware that she was struggling. So while the two officers are inside her home, she gets a call on her cell phone, and you can totally feel her uneasiness when she answers her cell phone. It's the dispatcher who was calling to make sure that an officer is with her, and she says yes, but she doesn't want him to get off the phone. The officer at the scene insists that he can hang up and he's there, but I couldn't really tell if he released the call or not. I'm assuming so.
I got the sheriff's department here, but I was calling for help from y'all.
Okay, are you there with me?
They're here in my house right now.
Okay, I'll let you go
and
talk to them.
No, hold on. Wait a second, sir.
Okay. You can hang up, Conroy.
You're there with the deputy, correct?
No, hold on, okay?
You can hang up.
Hold on for what?
Just 1 second, okay?
So already you can tell she doesn't necessarily feel safe with the officers.
Not at all. That's how I was feeling, too.
I got some paperwork. Can you grab that Bible, please?
Yeah. Hey, I just need your name so we can get out of here. Was there any damage previous to your car?
Previous, yeah, it was.
Okay, what was the damage?
A dent, I believe.
What about windows?
Oh, that, it was something that happened earlier.
Okay, perfect. What is your last name? Should not think about your last name. Okay. You're not in trouble, I just need to
text. Massey.
Huh?
Massey.
What? Do you have an ID? That'd make things so much easier. I just need to get... Just a driver's license will do, and I'll get out of your hair.
I want to show y'all my paperwork.
Get your paperwork.
What paperwork?
Okay. I got some paperwork.
Well, just get your ID real quick.
Well, let's get your ID first, and then...
One task at a time here.
Okay.
Here, grab your ID for me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Your ID. One task at a time. So let's do an ID, and then you can dig around for your paperwork.
I don't know where my ID is.
You have that stack right there, maybe?
Sean Grayson points over to her gas stove, signaling to the other officer that the stove was on, and there was currently a boiling pot of water, making the comment that he wouldn't want the house to burn down. Sonia goes to turn off the stove that was left on. She handles the pot wearing two oven mitts, and the police take it as she is going to throw the pot of water at them. And she says, "Where are you going?" The officer nervously laughs, taking a step back, and says, "Away from your hot, steaming water." She has the water running, you know, in the background. Like, she carries the pot over to the sink. She turns the water on, and she's running the water.
The hot water.
Yeah, he took this as a threat.
I don't understand how this is even a threat. I mean, okay, maybe it's threatening that you might get hot water thrown at you or whatever. Yeah, that's dangerous. But to just overreact and shoot her in the head... It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, she didn't have a gun. She didn't have a knife. She didn't have anything like that.
Right. That's like saying someone who yells at you for cutting them off while you're driving is going to like purposely like wreck into you.
Yeah.
From here on out, the video footage is so hard to watch. I'll add the audio of it here, but just a warning, it is disturbing.
Check on her.
I need this.
No, we don't need a fire while we're here.
Right.
Huh?
Where are you going?
Away from your hot steaming water.
Away from my hot steaming water?
Yeah.
Oh, I would rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'll shoot you in the name of Jesus.
You better fucking not. That's where I got. I'll fucking shoot you right in your fucking face.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Drop the fucking pot!
The fucking...
Drop the fucking pot! Drop the fucking pot!
19 shots fired.
Shots fired! Drop the fucking pot! Bring EMS now. We got a headshot wound to the female. Headshot wound to female. 1078. Fuck.
I was on. I'm gonna go get my kit.
No, headshot, dude. She's done. You can go get it, but that's a headshot.
Fuck.
God damn it.
God, fuck.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're fucking blowing a lot of the fucking head. And look, it fucking came right to our feet, too. God damn it.
At this moment, the counter in the kitchen, it's separating her from the officer. And she's kneeling, like, behind it. He still continues to point the gun at her, even moving a few steps closer to get a better shot. And she seemed shocked in fear that he had pulled a gun on her. Sonia crouched down, and her last words were, "I'm sorry," while shielding herself. Her two hands were up for a quick second, not holding the pot of water. You can clearly see the pot sitting on the counter, and he yells for her to drop the pot. With the gun still pointed at her, she stands back up in a quick moment of feeling under attack, grabs the pot of water. It only hits the kitchen floor. It appears wet, and the steaming pot of water is seen for a second, steaming on the floor. The footage makes it hard to tell that this actually happened. I had to watch it a few times, pausing it, rewatching it a few times to see if she actually threw the pot. But then three shots were fired at Sonia Massey, one fatally killing her.
So she threw the pot, it hits the ground, and then he shoots?
It was almost like simultaneously, like it was up in the air.
So she, as soon as she threw it, he, like, back the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, what makes you step towards her to shoot?
Yeah, I mean, a gun's being pointed at you. Now, the other deputy announced that he was going to get his medical kit, but the officer who just shot her says, with confirmation, that there's nothing they could do because it was a headshot, and to just leave her there, even commenting that he doesn't want to waste his med kit on her.
Jeez.
Sonia was approached by the assisting officer. She was lying in a pool of her own blood, gurgling and gasping for air. She suffered every bleeding moment while the man who shot her walked out of the house. This part, although it's blurred out, it's hard to listen to, and I won't be sharing it. It's extremely hard to watch and very devastating.
What I don't understand here is he shot her. Shouldn't he be assisting her right away?
Absolutely. He should have got that med kit, first of all.
Yeah, until EMTs get on the scene.
Well, the other officer, he tries to slow the bleeding and patiently waiting for the other officer to come back. He actually took about 3 minutes to come back into the house. Soon, first responders flood onto the scene, and one of the new officers who arrived is heard in the background asking where the gun is. And the assisting officer confirms that she was unarmed. It was originally assumed that she had a gun because originally the officer who had shot her called in for backup saying it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The property was taped off and it was immediately declared a crime scene. Shortly after 1:43 a.m., the sheriff's office contacted the Illinois State Police and requested an independent investigation into the shooting. Now, you may be thinking, well, the officer was in a moment where he just reacted. He made a mistake. He was being threatened, maybe by Sonia, and she was handling the steaming pot of water that just came off the hot stove. Well, what makes this scene irritating is that Sean Grayson physically turns off his audio on his body cam footage before he fired any shots. You can't hear anything during this time, although the video is still being captured. After he fired the three shots, he turns the audio back on. So if he was in a moment of reaction, why would he have the time to think about turning off and on the audio of his body cam footage?
Unless he was trying to hide something.
Exactly. Now, this was added to the charging documents of Sean Grayson, unlike the other deputies who captured all audio and all video of this incident.
It makes you wonder if he tried to turn the whole thing off, like the body cam in general.
Yeah. Now, there are some sources that say that he completely turned off the body cam footage and the audio during the incident. However, the Illinois State Police, they posted his body cam footage and also the second body cam footage. And the first body cam footage is of Sean Grayson's. You can tell that he's trying to like switch something off or switch something on. So there is some video that was captured, like the actual shooting, him shooting the gun. It was captured, just the audio was cut off.
It's crazy. One of the things I can't stop thinking about, though, is like, for instance, a shooter, an active shooter. There's so many times that an active shooter is captured by police, apprehended. This is a water pot. Like, yeah, it's such an overreaction.
Yeah, it really is.
Right?
Now, as we picked up earlier, the police were well aware of Sonia Massey and her mental state. This wasn't their first police call received by her or a family member. On July 4th, police received a call from an unidentified person who is now believed to be Sonia, stating that someone was trying to hurt them. The dispatcher asked whom the caller was referring to, and the caller responded, "A lot of them." Sonia's mother, Donna Massey, called 911 the next day on July 5th. She stated in the call, "She has been having a mental breakdown, which is something new to me. She is not a danger to herself. She is not a danger to me. But when she gets upset, she thinks that everyone's out to get her." She also added the request in the call, "Please don't send no combative policemen that are prejudiced."
Okay, what's going on there?
Well, my daughter is being sporadic, and she's been mentally having a mental breakdown, which is something new to me. She's not a danger to herself. She's not a danger to me. But when she gets upset, then she thinks everybody's after her. Like paranoid schizophrenic. She thinks everybody's after her.
Okay. How old is she?
Yeah. She's 35.
What's her name?
Sonia Massey.
Her name is Sonia?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what's your name?
Donna. She's out in the front of the house talking so loud that you can probably hear her to the end of the block.
Okay.
She had a car keys in her hand, but they told me, the mental people told me to call 911 because she could get in her car and kill herself or somebody, because she has ran a couple of red lights when she went up. And so she's being sporadic, and I don't want you guys to hurt her, please.
I've got some questions I've got to ask you. Does she have a weapon?
Okay. No.
Okay. Is this a suicide attempt?
No, she's not going to hurt herself or anyone else.
Okay. Is she alert?
She's alert.
Okay.
Mom.
All right. Ma'am, we're going to get help on the way, okay? If anything changes or she tries to leave, call me back.
Thank you. And please don't send no combative policemen that are prejudiced, please.
Okay, well, that would be none of them, man. They just do their job, okay?
No, they're all fucked up. They're scary. I'm scared of the police. Please,
okay. There's nothing to be fearful of, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sometimes they make the shit worse.
Okay. Helps on the way, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
I remember when we first heard that, it honestly gave me goosebumps. This is exactly what she didn't want to happen.
So this was all documented. Now, after that call that her mother made, the Springfield police, they arrived, and Sonia said that she didn't want to speak with any of the officers at the time. Now, on the same day, around 1 p.m., another 911 call came in from Sonia Massey, stating that a neighbor had used a brick to break her SUV's window. After this, Sonia went to the hospital because she had cuts on her arms. It's unclear if she went to the hospital on her own or if the police took her. While at the hospital, Sonia told medical personnel that she had broken the window on the driver's side of her car to get away. Medical records showed scrapes on her arms, believed to be from reaching through the broken window. Police informed the medical personnel that Sonia was having some 1096 issues, which in police code means mental health problems. And Sonia, she told hospital personnel that she had been released from a mental hospital on July 3rd, 2024.
All of this was documented. Like, obviously, she was going through some type of mental issue. And there were multiple calls and reports.
Yeah. And on the same day of the shooting, the officer was asking about her car and kept focusing on her car. You know, like, well, whose car is that? It's not your car. Whose car is it? It was her car. But it's like, why are you even asking that?
Yeah.
Because they already knew the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
He demonstrated a complete lack of compassion and humanity when he spoke to Sonia moments before he shot her. He showed no empathy or understanding for her emotions. So let's take a look into the background of Sean Grayson. Sean Grayson enlisted in the Army in 2014 and was charged with a DUI twice in Macoupin County, Illinois, on August 10th, 2015 and on July 26th, 2016. The first DUI charge led to his discharge from the Army in February of 2016 for serious misconduct. During the first DUI, there was a traffic stop, and police found an unregistered gun in Grayson's vehicle. Although Macoupin County State's Attorney Jordan Garrison confirmed the presence of the gun, Grayson did not face a weapons charge because he was a resident of Fort Riley, Kansas, which has an open carry firearms law. Grayson received a general discharge under honorable conditions rather than an honorable discharge, primarily due to the civilian DUI charges, while his military service was otherwise good. This type of discharge can impact future employment opportunities and may require explanation to potential employers. The term under honorable conditions means that the service member's conduct was not bad enough to warrant a less favorable discharge, but it wasn't also good enough for an honorable discharge. After being thrown out of the Army, he got a job working as a law enforcement officer for approximately 4 years from August 2020 to July 2024. To be clear, his career as a law enforcement officer ended in July after Sonia's shooting, and he is currently being held without bond in jail awaiting trial. He worked for 6 different agencies in Central Illinois during his time as an officer. The police reported that he was proactive and worked well with the public, but also that he did not demonstrate good officer safety skills. One incident involved him ignoring a supervisor's order to terminate a vehicle pursuit. Soon after being directed to terminate the chase, he continued speeding down a dark, desolate road and collided with a deer. This was viewed as poor judgment and non-compliance with his superior's directive to ensure safety during a high-risk situation. There was another incident when he was employed in Logan County, where he falsified information on a police report. The police chief at the time said that this was because Sean Grayson was new to the job, which could have been true.
Yeah, but wouldn't that have warranted more training or something like that?
Exactly. Now, the sheriff at the time, he questioned his integrity. He sat down with Sean Grayson. Basically, the sheriff called him out and said, if we can't trust what you say and what you see, we can't have you in our uniform. He also said, I'm getting goosebumps. This is extremely concerning.
Yeah, I mean, the sheriff knew he was a time bomb waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And these signs of his lack of safety skills seemed to shine through in the handling of Sonia Massey's case. For instance, after the shooting incident, he did not provide medical assistance to her and discouraged the other deputy from doing so, indicating a failure to follow critical procedures for ensuring the safety and well-being of individuals involved in law enforcement actions.
Not to mention he tried to turn the audio off.
Yeah, which is a huge one and is against standard practices aimed at maintaining transparency and accountability during police interactions.
Not to mention his haste decision to just pull his gun and shoot.
Yeah, no, just to add, he was known to have a drinking problem. Supposedly, he brought this up in an interview when discussing the DUI that he drinks a lot. After the shooting of Sonia, the family was questioning if he was possibly intoxicated at the time of the shooting.
Oh, jeez.
Following the shooting, Sean Grayson was cited for insubordination during an internal investigation where he refused to answer questions about the incident. This reflected a disregard for procedural compliance and cooperation with oversight processes.
It makes you wonder how he even got the job. I mean, this is all on record.
That's what the family was thinking, too. Like, why even hire this guy?
And he did what? He jumped around like 6 times before being an officer there?
Yeah. So to explain that, Sean Grayson used a former deputy of Sangamon County, Scott Butterfield, as a reference when he applied for this position. At the time, Grayson was in a relationship with Butterfield's daughter, whom he is now engaged to. The hiring notes read, Mr. Butterfield described Mr. Grayson as a mellow, non-confrontational person who has good communication skills. Mr. Butterfield highly recommends Mr. Grayson for employment with the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office.
Which is funny because it's exactly the opposite of what's in his report.
Yeah, he's most definitely confrontational and lacks significant communication skills as an officer who should have handled this situation much differently.
Yeah. I mean, all the way back to the Army. Like, this isn't a new thing.
It's not. And as a result, Sonia Massey's family has demanded the resignation of Campbell, the Sangamon County Sheriff, for hiring Sean Grayson. And so the Illinois governor, he stated, quote, "We join the Massey family in calling for Sheriff Campbell's resignation immediately so the Springfield and Sangamon County community can begin to rebuild and restore trust between citizens and the sheriff's department," unquote. The Sangamon County State's Attorney's Office delivered the evidence to the grand jury of Sangamon County, Illinois, on July 17, 2024, along with the body cam footage of the incident. Sean Grayson was then charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder, 1 count of aggravated battery with a firearm, and 1 count of official misconduct. Although he has been fired and is being held in jail without bond, in a statement after he shot and killed Sonia Massey in her home in Springfield, Illinois, Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson said that he feared great bodily harm or death from a pot of boiling water that Sonia Massey was carrying in her kitchen. Currently, Sean Grayson has pleaded not guilty to murder and other charges.
Of course he did.
Civil rights attorney Ben Crump is advocating for a change in state law to stop officers from moving from one department to another without proper accountability. He stood in front of people with powerful determination to make this change and expressed how Sonia was in need of a helping hand, not a bullet to the face. Along with this statement, he also asked a powerful question. Where is the humanity? Where is the training?
Exactly. Not to mention, a reference should be unbiased. It shouldn't be from a father-in-law or a family member.
Yeah, not at all. Especially in law enforcement. Like, that should be taken so very seriously.
I agree.
And where's the rigorous background checks that included, you know, reviewing any documented concerns about the officer's safety skills? What additional training has he had? You know, where he stood when he left that department?
I don't know.
If it was known that Sean Grayson lacked these skills, he should not have been the one to enter that house to handle the situation of someone who is clearly in a mental health crisis. There is a clear need for extensive training in handling mental health crises. And, you know, if more training can't be done or if it doesn't help that specific officer, why not form dedicated crisis intervention teams consisting of specially trained officers and mental health professionals to respond to mental health crises? This is a necessary step, especially in today's world where mental health issues are constantly on the rise. And actually, it's totally possible because it is a thing in several cities. They have implemented programs that send unarmed counselors or social workers to handle nonviolent situations. Some cities that we know of are Eugene, Oregon. They have a program called CAHOOTS. The Crisis Assistance Helping Out on the Street program sends medical and mental health professionals to respond to nonviolent crises. Denver, Colorado, they have the Support Team Assisted Response Program, or STAR, that dispatches mental health professionals and paramedics to handle nonviolent incidents. San Francisco, they have a program called Street Crisis Response Team. In this program, they deploy paramedics and behavioral health clinicians to respond to mental health crises. Olympia, Washington, they have a program called Crisis Response Unit. Portland, Oregon, they have a program called Portland Street Response. And these initiatives can promote a more appropriate and considerate response, reducing the use of armed police in situations that social workers and mental health professionals can handle successfully, which is really what Sonia needed.
And let's be honest, the last person who should have been sent to Sonia's was Sean. He was so insensitive. He handled it in the complete wrong way.
Yeah. Captain condescending. Mental health advocates have also spoken out about Sonia's murder, emphasizing the need for better training and protocols for handling situations involving individuals in mental health crises. The local Springfield, Illinois community has responded with outrage and grief over the tragic incident. They stood up and spoke their minds as to how this man was even hired in the first place. Protests and vigils have been held in Springfield and other cities, demanding justice for Sonia Massey and calling for significant police reform. These gatherings have brought together activists, community leaders, and concerned citizens, all united in their demand for accountability and change. So far, vigils for Sonia have been held in Illinois, Los Angeles, New York, and St. Louis, and probably more since the recording of this episode.
And not to mention, Sonia was 36 years old. I'm 36. You're not too far behind.
Yeah, it's horrible. And like I mentioned earlier, I'll be honest, I go through occasional mental health problems, moments where I'm paranoid, you know, or I'm just like not myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, if an officer came in and treated me that way.
Not to mention when you reach out for help, right? She reached out personally for help. She was nice to them when they came. Her mom even reached out and warned them. This is something that she's going through. She's not a danger. She's not a threat to me, to you, but she's paranoid. This is something I feel could happen to any of us.
Yeah. And her saying, please don't send any prejudice or combative police officers, that like gave me chills hearing that because that's just.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad.
Sad that she feels that way.
It's exactly what she didn't want.
Yeah. And she, like, that's how she feels.
Yeah.
You know, she was told to call the police because, like, they were speaking with a mental health professional. They said, well, go ahead and call the police and have them come over there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what she did.
You know, and it's one of those things where obviously she didn't fully trust the police, but she needed help. And who do you reach out to for help?
911.
It's all you have.
And if you remember George Floyd, the man who was killed by a police officer as he was suffocated under an officer's knee, begging for his life as he couldn't breathe. His uncle was at a recent rally for Sonia Massey and stated that since George Floyd's murder, which had been 4 years ago, He has been to 40 other victims' funerals because of police brutality. He wants to see policing improve and see more mental health evaluations and a more diligent hiring process.
And again, none of this is about politics. This is literally about the treatment of humans.
Now, another thing that was brought up in the local rally was the findings that the deputy, Sean Grayson, was terminated without cause. So even though he was fired without any apparent reason, just let go on July 17th, 2024, the same day that he was charged with murder.
How is that even possible? There's obviously a reason that they're documenting it this way.
So the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police, or FOP Labor Council, which represents law enforcement officers, filed a complaint against the firing. They claim that the sheriff's department did not follow proper procedures and failed to give Grayson or the union advance notice of the termination. I guess the police posted this on social media before even letting Grayson know. They argue that this violated the collective bargaining's agreement, which outlines that an employee should be informed of any performance issues and given a chance to address them before being fired. Which, I mean, come on. And so the union is pushing for Sean Grayson to be reinstated with all lost wages and benefits restored, emphasizing that the firing lacked the required just cause as per their agreement with the department.
So basically, they can slap him on the wrist and he could most likely go on and get another job, possibly do this again. And honestly, this is probably why he was able to get a job 6 different times, even with all of the documentation that he had, the negative things in his reports, everything like that. And overall, not being held accountable for his actions at all.
Yeah, if he doesn't get convicted, I mean, that very well could happen. An Illinois sheriff whose former deputy was Sean Grayson told media outlets that he had received training, which specifically included receiving extra training, more training than any of his other deputies, to learn how to avoid the use of unwarranted lethal force. So it's like he had the training, he just didn't use it.
Right. And there were signs in his behavior. All of this led up to this horrific event.
And the sheriff stated that, quote, this was a rogue individual that acted outside the scope of his authority. Sangamon County Sheriff Jack Campbell said of his former deputy, Sean Grayson, he has been arrested and he will pay the price. Sonia Massey's family has been vocal about their loss and their need for justice. Her mother, Donna Massey, has described Sonia as a loving and caring individual. Her uncle described her as a very peaceful, loving person. She did not deserve to die the way that she did. Moments after Sonia was killed, the family described being misled, only being told that someone had shot her. They didn't know who shot her or what exactly happened. They didn't tell her son who had shot her, and he was so worried. You know, his mother was just shot. She's dead. They explained that she was shot in the left eye and the bullet exited out of the back of her neck.
So the son is just left wondering who shot his mom, like who could have done this. I'm sure he never even thought it could have been a police officer.
No, her son actually explained that he felt like it was a possible intruder because her mom had texted him that night saying someone was at her back door. So that's what he was thinking. Never in a million years he thought it would have been a police officer. Now, obviously, around this time, there was an investigation going on, you know, to get the facts straight. But it was so hurtful to the families because they were misled. They were told differently. And they weren't told the truth as to what really happened. After Sonia's murder, her two children needed some of their belongings from that house, but they didn't want to go in there. A first cousin of Sonia, who was like a sister to her, went into the house to clean up the blood. She didn't want Sonia's kids to see her blood on that kitchen floor. I know it's usually the families that clean up a murder scene like that, but there's just got to be someone else to do it. Like, that's like the worst thing you can imagine doing. You just lost somebody who was shot, and it's your responsibility to clean it up.
It's awful. It's honestly so terrible.
And the family was disgusted when seeing the body cam footage of the officers. They commented on how Sonia said sorry and ducked down to avoid getting shot. And the officer clearly takes two steps forward to get a clearer shot while she's crouched down. The trajectory of the bullet tells that the bullet entered her left eye and it went in a downward exit towards the bottom of her neck. So she was hit and shot when she was at a lower level. It's believed that the first two shots didn't hit her, but that third shot was what ultimately killed her.
While she was shielding herself.
Yeah, when she was ducking down, shielding herself. The family feels like if he felt like maybe he made a mistake or maybe he was overreacting, why would he purposefully move two steps closer to get a clearer shot? Her family believes that if he felt like he was making a mistake, why would he have purposefully walked forward, reaching around the kitchen counter and making that third shot at Sonia? They were also hurt by the things that were even said after she was shot on the floor, dying from that officer, just like leave her there and refusing to get the medical kit because he didn't want to waste it. And also later in the recorded footage, he is heard saying he doesn't know what happened. She's a crazy bitch. Just hurtful, unnecessary, careless words.
Right. When I think of a shooting like this, it's like, you made me do this. I didn't want to do it. And instant remorse, right? And you just don't see that from him. You don't see that he didn't want to do it or that he wanted to, you know, help and get the med kit and all of those things. It's just, just careless.
Yeah. And at first he was saying it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And then they saw the footage and they're like, no, this is not self-inflicted. The family has set up a memorial fund in her honor to support mental health initiatives and advocate for systematic changes in how law enforcement handles similar situations. I feel so heartbroken for her family, people of the community, and victims with similar cases, being that they have to focus their continued lives and energy on trying to get justice and the continued fight for change. Now allow yourself for a moment to imagine you in a world where you were having a mental breakdown, or your son or your daughter was, and an officer was there to help, and they ultimately caused this tragedy. Why should anyone be afraid to reach out to an officer for help? You heard it from the mom herself. She was afraid of the police. And the family asks, if this was a white woman, would she still be alive today?
It's a good question.
They feel like if it was a white woman, the officer wouldn't be talking to her so poorly or talking to her with such arrogance and like disrespect, which may be true. The legal proceedings are ongoing, with the next court date set for later this month. The family, along with their attorney, Ben Crump, is closely monitoring the case and is prepared to take further legal action if necessary. The community is also keeping a close watch, hoping for an outcome that will set a precedent for future cases. This episode is dedicated to our shared commitment to justice for Sonia Massey. Her story underscores the urgent need for accountability and change, and together we must continue to demand both. We want to extend our deepest gratitude to our listeners and paid subscribers who are the real ingredients of Crime Salad. Your positive reviews, love, and support, it just keeps us going. Just know that you are so appreciated and loved by Ricky and I. So whether through listening, subscribing, reviewing, or sponsoring, thank you so much for being the crunch to our croutons. And as always, stay safe and take care of one another and eat more salad. Until next time.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch, Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.